today is found in the 24th and the 25th and the 26th and the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. We left off speaking to you last week, if you remember, how that Rebecca was going to give birth to twins. And when she did give birth to them, why, the first one that came out, he was red and hairy all over, and the other one was smooth and tender as other children are. And they named the first one Esau, and the second they named Jacob. And we see already in this the sovereignty of God, how that when children are born into this world, the one is strong and the other is weak. We see in Esau, he was hairy and he was red all over, a sign and an indication that he would be a robust character and that he would be a strong man. And we find that Jacob, he was a smooth man. And now these two, they grew up, and we find that Esau, he was a cunning hunter, and he lived by hunting. Just as Nimrod and Ishmael lived, he lived by his wits. He was a man of the field, he was a man of the world. He was a very strong man, Esau. But Jacob, he was a plain man, and he dwelt in tents. He was a shepherd, Jacob. And now we find that these two young men, they grew up to manhood. And we find that Isaac, he loved Esau. But Rebekah, she loved Jacob. See in this again, my hearers, how that parents show a partiality at times even to children. True, we shouldn't show any partiality to children. They're all our children. We should love them the same. But here we have Isaac loving Esau. Now Isaac, he pleased his father in many ways, and whenever he went out hunting, he brought back a deer, and he would fix it that it tasted so good that it went right to the heart of Isaac. And Isaac, he loved Esau because he fed him with venison. But Rebekah, she loved Jacob. Why did she love Jacob? God had given her a promise that the elder would serve the younger. She had then faith to believe that this young man, Jacob, that he would grow to a multitude of people, and that out of his seed would come forth the Messiah. And she believed that God was going to be gracious unto this son. And now, my hearers, there is a certain partiality shown to children who we may believe that God has a favor to and who he loves. But this does not apply in this respect to each and every one of us, that we should love our children irrespective of what they are and how they treat us. They are flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. But here there was a distinction made. And now we find that this Esau, he was a very strong and a robust character, and he was a sportsman. He lived by hunting. And we find that Jacob, he was a man that had probably a field and a garden, and he grew things, and he, at this time, was sodding pottage. What he was doing was, in other words, he was making a pot of stew of vegetables. And this pot of stew was very red in color. And just at this time, we find Esau coming back from hunting. And he was very weary and very faint. Now, this teaches us another lesson. Those that seek after sports, after honor, after fame, after the things of this world, they weary themselves very often in seeking these things. They could better seek after something else and not be half as weary as they do. How many seek after things that are inconsistent with the word of God? And now this man, Esau, he had been hunting, and he was weary, and he was faint. And when he came in and seen this pottage that Jacob was cooking, his eyes fell upon it. And he had such a desire to eat that, his eye and his stomach agreed to have that. Come what may, he wanted that. He didn't care what it would cost him. That was it. He had to have that to eat. And he felt himself to be so weary that he wanted Jacob to feed him. He wanted Jacob to serve him. And now Jacob, he probably had talked with his brother many times about this birthright, but to no avail. But now he thought he had a good opportunity. Just like a Jew, I guess. He figured now is just the right time. And sure enough, he approaches Esau. And he says unto him, sell me thy birthright this day, and I will feed thee with this pottage. And now Esau, he said, what good shall this birthright do to me? I am at the point of death. Now in a certain sense, it is true. If he was at the point of death, what good would that birthright do to him? Because if he was going to die, somebody else would get what the birthright entitled him to. He wouldn't have any of the benefits of it. But he said this not because he was at the point of death. But he was hungry, he was faint, and he was weary. Now, if he had went in and asked his mother to make him something to eat, she surely would have made him something to eat. But he had such a desire at this pottage that Jacob was cooking. There was nothing that could satisfy or crave his appetite but that. And therefore, Jacob, he, as a wise individual, he made a bargain with this man, Esau. And he says, sell me thy birthright. And in this respect, then, we find that Esau, he despised his birthright. He sold his birthright to Jacob for a mess of pottage. And now, my hearers, well, this birthright, in the first place, entitled the person that was first born to a double portion of their parents' inheritance. In the second place, the firstborn in the family was dedicated to God. And if the father died, then he was to step into his father's place, and he would be like priest in the house. Before that the priesthood of Aaron was instituted, this took place amongst the patriarchs. And now this birthright also entitled the person to spiritual blessings. And Jacob, he had his eye upon these spiritual blessings. If you follow this, you will find that Jacob, he got no double portion of his parents' inheritance, and he did not become the priest in his father's house. Although he was so desirous after this birthright, he got nothing of it. The only thing that he got was the spiritual blessing that was connected to it. And that was what Jacob was after already. He thought more of that than anything else. And now Esau, and he was at a point of death, and what did he care? Whoever got it, it didn't worry him any. Now this has a lesson in it, that many people, they sell their immortal souls for something even less than what Esau sold it for. How many? Just to get rich, to get wealthy? How many to follow after the pursuits and the vanities of this life? How many have many habits that they crave and they have to have? Things that are entirely sinful in the sight of God. They do these things because they have such a lust and such a desire after it, irrespective of what's going to happen to them and what God's going to do to them for it. Honor, fame, wealth. Some people they follow after what? Drink, dope, harlots, anything to satisfy the craving lust and the passions of their nature. And people that continue in these things and are never brought to repentance, they most certainly will perish in their sins. How many do these things? They sell them. Their title, we would say, to heaven. Their interest in Christ for these things. Not that we can buy them. Not that we can obtain them. But they show like Jacob. He despised his birthright. And so many people despise this precious Jesus and his blessed righteousness. For what? For sin, for iniquity, for the things of this world. And this is what Esau did likewise. He despised these spiritual blessings which were attached and connected to his birthright. And we find Jacob, he fed him with this pottage, and he arose and he despised his birthright, it says. And now we find in the next chapter, Isaac, he's dwelling in the land, and there's a famine in the land. His father Abraham had likewise experienced a famine, and he had went down into the land of Egypt. And it may have been that Isaac had it in his mind that he likewise would go down into the land of Egypt. But he went into the land of the Philistines. And when he came into the land of the Philistines, he dwelt there. And God appeared unto him and said unto him, do not go down into the land of Egypt, for I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, and dwell and sojourn in this land. For I have promised to give unto thee this land and all the countries round about it, because of Abraham thy father, who kept my commandments, who kept my ordinances, and did that which was right in my sight. Because God had sworn unto Abraham to give unto them this land, therefore he came to Isaac and appeared unto him and told him to be a sojourner in this land. And I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. My hearers, two things, very great things. Oh, what a wonder for God to appear to any person in this life. He appeared unto Isaac. And what did he say to him? I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. Has God ever appeared unto any of you, my hearers? Have you ever had an appearance of God in your life to you? And has he said unto you, I will be with you? Oh, you couldn't have a better companion. You couldn't have a better friend. You couldn't have a better protector. I could recommend this God to every one of you's people. But he's a sovereign God. He appears to this one and he don't appear to the other one. He appeared to this Isaac and he promised him that he would be with him. What is it to have God with us? Oh, my hearers, that means that God loves us, that God favors us, that God is going to go with us to eternity and take us to be with him in glory above. We shall find him to be our protector, our refuge, our strength. We will find him in so many ways in this life which will prove to us that we are the subjects of his love. This Isaac found, I will be with thee and I will bless thee. Oh, when God promises to bless, my hearers, there are providential blessings and spiritual blessings connected with the promise that God gives. And Isaac, he remained in the Philistines' land. And now Isaac, he was just like his father Abraham. He was afraid because of his wife. It appears that Rebekah was a very beautiful woman. And he thought, they're going to kill me and they're going to take my wife away from me. So when they inquired of him and asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister, for fear that he would be killed. He fell into the same sin as Abraham did. Abraham said this when he was down in the land of Egypt, and when he went into the land of the Philistines too, he said that his wife Sarah was his sister. These patriarchs, they did not always have such a strong faith and exercise to cast their burden upon the Lord and to trust in him. And we find Isaac here falling into this sin likewise. And now, my hearers, while he was dwelling there, this king, Abimelech, he looked out of the window, and he seen Isaac sporting with his wife. In other words, Isaac was making love to his wife, which was natural, which isn't anything wrong. A man loves a woman, he does make love to her. Probably this is what he was doing. And when this king saw this, he says to himself, surely, he says, that isn't his sister, that's his wife. Or otherwise he wouldn't be doing those things to her. So he called him to him, and he spoke to him and told him what he probably had seen him doing. And Isaac says, yes, it's true, she is my wife, but I was afraid that they would kill me. Well, this king, he reproved him. He said, you might have brought a great sin upon my people, for somebody might have taken her and lain with her. He says, and what then? So then this king, he issued a commandment that nobody was allowed to touch this man, Isaac, or his wife, for if they did, they would be put to death. And he told him to dwell in the land. And then we find that Isaac, he sowed in that year, and God blessed him abundantly. He had such a great harvest, 100-fold, it says. See, God had said, I will be with thee and I will bless thee. And he blessed Isaac. And now when these Philistines seen that God was blessing this man, they became envious. He became great, Isaac. And he went forward and became so great that the Philistines, they went to him and they said, depart from us, for you are greater than we are. So he departed from them. And he went and he dwelt in a certain place, and there he began to dig the wells that his father Abraham had dug, who the Philistines had filled with earth. And after digging two or three wells, which the Philistines strove with him for, then we find him coming to a place called Beersheba. And there they dug a well too, and they didn't strive for that well. But right after this, we read again that the Lord appeared unto him and told him that he was the God of Abraham and that he should remain in this land and that he would give unto him all the countries round about him and that he would bless him and he would multiply his seed. Again, we read of an appearance of God unto Isaac. Isaac wasn't as favored as Abraham was with these appearances, but he still had God appearing unto him. Something to be jealous of, my hearers. Oh, God comes again and again to his dear children. If he came to you once, you want him to come again to you. You want him to renew the promises. You want him to say the same things to you that he said to you before. And when he does, how sweet they are. How assured you are that he is the God of your salvation, that he loves you, that he favors you, that he's with you. Such it was with Isaac. And Isaac then, he built there an altar and he worshiped the Lord. Now this is what every soul does. If God appears unto you in this life, then you erect an altar in your mind, in your memory. You say, then and then God came to me, then and then he spoke to me. I can never forget that time. You have such a time in your life? Oh, if you never had such a time in your life, how poor you are, my hearers. Oh, what shall the eternity be for such creatures that have never had a meeting with God in this life? Oh, if you have, oh, you are a wonderful creature, for you are loved of God from all eternity. He has his eye upon you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You will find his blessing accompanying you wherever you may go. All may you be given those that have had no such meeting in this life. May you be given to seek this God while you are yet alive. He's worth seeking after. He is to be found in this life. He teaches us to seek him himself. May you be given by the Spirit to do so and find him to be the God of your soul, the God of your salvation, blessing you with those things that are necessary for life and for eternity. And now we find in the next chapter, the very end of this chapter, we find that Esau, he went ahead and he married two women. These two women were Canaanites. They were of the land in which they dwelt. And now these two women, they were a grief unto Rebekah and Isaac. This man Esau then, he didn't care about his parents. He wouldn't listen to them. He went ahead and he married these women anyway. They were not to marry of the women of the land. How many do this? Have I some listening to me that have went ahead against their parents' admonitions and advice and went ahead and married somebody, and you have caused nothing else but grief unto your parents by doing that? Look at Esau. That's what he did. All my hearers, it's such a blessing if we may consult our parents and seek their advice. Believe me, your parents mean well with you, children that are not married, that are listening to me. They mean your welfare in this life. And when they see something which you don't see, may you take heed to their advice. Esau, he did not listen to his parents. And he made life bitter for his parents. What a thing to make life bitter for our own father and mother by doing something that they were opposed to. And now in the next chapter, we find that Isaac, he has become old, and his eyes have become dim, and he calls his firstborn Esau unto him, and he said unto him, I am old, he says, and I know not the day of my death. Go, take your bow and your quiver, and go and find some venison, and prepare it for me, and make savory meat for me, just as I love. And let me eat, and let my soul bless thee before I die. We have then Isaac, he has become old. If God blesses us, gives us health, we'll become old too. Every one of us. Some don't become old. How many are young in life? How many sometimes are just born and taken away? How many youths are cut down at the present time, even on the field of battle? How many have in the past already been cut down in wars that we have had? And how many, my hearers, are subject to all sorts of infirmities and afflictions? Many are taken away by heart attacks today. It's nothing unusual for us to read that this man or that man, he was at his office, he was at his work, and suddenly, gone. Death is certain. The hour is very uncertain. Many are taken away by strokes. Many are taken away by accidents. How many die? Plane falls. Almost everybody in the plane is gone. Sometimes on our highways today, four or five are killed at a time. Now, this teaches us the uncertainty of life, my hearers, but also the certainty of death. Jacob says, I am old. And in his old age, he became blind. He couldn't see. His eyes became dim that he couldn't see. For the wise Solomon says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the days shall come in the which thou shalt say, I have no delight therein. When those that look through the windows become darkened, and when the teeth, the grinders, they begin to cease, when the bones that have been so strong, they begin to bend, they begin to become weak. Look at some old people. They're bending towards the earth. We've been taken from the earth, and we have to return to the earth. A sign that death is coming. Isaac says, I know not the day of my death. How true, truer words weren't spoken. None of us know the day of our death. And we don't know how soon death may take hold of us. How many already have passed away out of the midst of our congregation already in this short time, in this year? And who knows who shall be next? Maybe you, maybe I. And what then, my hearers? Have you ever stopped to think of it? How shall you appear before God? Now, these are realities. These aren't fancies, my hearers. These are the words of God. I know not the hour of my death. Nobody knows that. But what a mercy to be found in Christ Jesus in this life, to be clothed with his righteousness. And then when death comes, we shall be received by God himself in the robes of his blessed Son. And now Isaac, he had such an inspiration inside of his heart that he wanted to bless Esau. This was his darling. This was the son that he loved. And he wanted to bless him with the tenderest blessings before he died. So he sent him out to catch venison and prepare it for him. And now when he spake unto Esau, we find Rebekah his wife, she heard him speaking in this way. And now Rebekah, she loved Jacob. And she wanted Jacob to have the blessing and not Esau. And now Rebekah, when Esau had departed to seek for venison, she called Jacob. And she told Jacob she had heard her father speaking to Esau and that he wanted to bless him before he died. And she says to her son, now, son, go to the flock and fetch me two kids of the goats and bring them unto me. And I will make savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And then you go in and present this to your father and tell him you are Esau and you will receive the blessing. Now Jacob, he kind of thought, although he desired to have the blessing just as much as Rebekah, he kind of thought, well, if I go in there and my father detects me, then I'll have a curse instead of a blessing. And this is the way that he spake to his mother. He says, probably, he says, my father will detect me, and then instead of blessing me, he will curse me. His mother says, do as I have commanded thee. Upon me be thy curse, my son. She was intent on deceiving Isaac and obtaining the blessing for Jacob. Now, my hearers, she didn't have to go about it in this way. This blessing that Jacob was to have most certainly would come to him. But she went about it in a deceiving manner. God had in his all-wise providence this blessing in store for Jacob, irrespective if he had not this birthright, he still would have been blessed by God. And it was not necessary for Rebekah to do these things, because in the first place, she began to teach Jacob how to deceive. And she herself, as she was teaching her son things that were sinful and evil. But as she went now to Isaac and told Isaac and said, listen, Isaac, you know, when these two sons were born, God said to me, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, you know, the blessing is to come down upon the younger. Now, look what Esau did already. He despised his birthright. He married two women, which are a grief to me and you. And the blessing cannot come down upon him because he is married outside of the seed. If she had went to Isaac in this way and pleaded with him, in all probabilities, Isaac would have condescended to bless Jacob instead of Esau. But she did not do this. She went ahead and contrived this method of deceiving Isaac and obtaining the blessing for Jacob. And now Jacob, he went and did the commandment of his mother. He went and got two kids from the goats, and he brought them back. And his mother, she prepared them in such a manner that they would be just like it was deer meat, Vincent. You know, that's easy to be done. You know, a lot of people are deceived many times. You may have something that you like, especially like, and you only want that kind, and you only want that name and that brand, and otherwise, it's no good. Now, somebody might prepare something for you and tell you that it's just this name and just this brand, and you eat it and you say, yes, that's good, and it wasn't that at all. Now, this is the way Rebekah went about to deceive Isaac. She prepared these two kids, they were goats, and she made them such savory meat that it tasted to him just like if it was deer meat. Or we can be deceived so easily, my hearers, by others. And now she took the skins of these goats, because Jacob says, if my father should touch me, he says, he'll sure discern that I'm Jacob, because Esau is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. So she took of the skins of the goats and she put them around his hands and around the collar of his neck, and she gave him this meat, and she put his clothes on him. She took these clothes probably out of a chest that she had in her home, the clothes of Esau, and she dressed Jacob with that. According to the commentary, these clothes were kept in a certain chest. And these people, the Orientals, they used to perfume their clothes. Some of them used to sew even wood in between the cloth that they wore. Aloes, it's called. And they perfumed it with various herbs that had such a scent that it was delightful to smell. And therefore, these clothes that she brought out and put upon Jacob, they had such a scent of the field and of as if a man had been hunting. So we find Jacob going in unto his father, dressed in the clothes of Esau, presenting unto him venison. He goes in and he says, I am thy son, Esau, thy firstborn. Arise, father, and eat of the venison that I have brought thee. And now when Isaac heard the voice of this young man, he was kind of doubtful. His ears were good yet, but his eyes weren't. And he couldn't make out whether this was Jacob or Esau. Now you find that he lied 3 or 4 times, this man Jacob. And you marvel at how that he went through with this. And he got away with it. Because when Isaac said unto him, art thou my very son Esau? I am, he says. That was one lie. And he said unto his father, I have did as thou hast bade me. Arise and eat the venison that I have prepared for thee. Isaac had not bade him anything. His mother had heard this conversation, and he came in and he lied and said that his father had bade him to do this, and therefore he had done it. And now we find that Isaac, he didn't trust it yet, because he asked him to come near unto him, and he kissed him. And when he kissed him, why, his smell was the smell of a field that God had blessed. But likewise, when Isaac asked him how it was that he had caught this so quickly, he even uses God's name. And he says, the Lord thy God did give me to find it so quickly. We find nothing else but lies and deceit in this matter, my hearers. And still God was behind it. God was not in the lies. God was not in the sin. And many times it is by the sins and the foolishness of men that God works out what he has in mind from all eternity. And so we see it in this, because God was in this. For when Jacob came near and Isaac kissed him, then Isaac began to bless Jacob, and spake unto him, and said unto him, that he would receive the blessing from the dew of heaven and from the earth, and that he would be blessed not only earthly and spiritually, but he would be blessed that he would become a great nation, and that multitudes of people would come forth out of him, and that God would give unto him that land upon which they were dwelling, according to the promise that he had given unto Abraham. And he then was blessed in the first place with plenty. He would receive not only earthly blessings, but heavenly blessings. He was also promised power. He would have then God with him, and God would be his God, and God would keep him and bless him and multiply him. And likewise, he would have power with God in heaven above. He would have that advantage that there would be communion and connection with God in heaven above. With these things, Isaac blessed Jacob. And as he was blessing Jacob with these blessings, his heart was in it. The Spirit of God flowed in so strongly that he sincerely believed that what he spake would most certainly be given unto this young man whom he was blessing. And he had no more than finished blessing this young man, and Jacob had no more than gone out from his presence, but we find Esau coming in from his hunting. And he had prepared venison, and he came in and spake unto his father. And he said, "Father, who art thou, my son?" He says, "I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau," he says. "Arise and eat of the venison that I have prepared for thee." Esau then came to receive the blessing, but the blessing already had been given unto Jacob. And when he heard this voice of Esau, then he began to speak and said, Who was that that was here and that took the blessing? For really I have blessed him, and he most certainly shall be blessed." And now Esau, he began to be crying and weeping because somebody had taken the blessing. And he says, "Is not his name Jacob? Two times he has supplanted me." He says, "He took away the birthright, and now he has taken away the blessing." And then he cries to his father and says, "Hast thou not reserved the blessing for me, father? Hast thou only one blessing?" And now Isaac, he could not confer that blessing that he had given to Jacob upon Esau. He could not turn it into a curse. He felt in his very heart that what he had said, God had said amen to it, and it surely would take place with Jacob. But Esau, he wept and he cried and he carried on, and he desired his father to bless him. Now we find that he sought this blessing with tears. He sought it with repentance. He sought this by his father. He didn't seek it by God. He sought it by Isaac. And Isaac, he condescended to bless him, but he only gave him a natural blessing. He would likewise have of the dew of heaven, and he would likewise have a blessing of this earth. Now this Esau then, He was deprived of this exceptional blessing that God bestowed upon Jacob. My time is gone, my hearers. It's almost 10 after 3, I think. Can't see too well. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up our lesson from this point. The Lord bless what has been delivered this afternoon to your souls. That's all.